If you ever want to blame somebody for the hymns that we sing, it's usually me. Our custom is whoever is preaching gets to pick the hymns. So if you have favorites that we never sing, let me know what they are and I'll try to work them in. There's a hymn that I would have picked for today, but I don't remember us ever singing it here in my 10 years, so that made me think we might be a little shaky on it, and I wasn't wanting to take the chance. It's not the easiest or greatest tune, but the first line is perfect for today. It captures just what I wanted to say to you today. It says, "Sing out praises for the journey, pilgrims, we who carry on." I've been talking about this way of transformation, this journey from brokenness toward healing and wholeness. And I wonder how you've been imagining the trip. Are you picturing it as a path of pain and struggle? Something that you know you should do, but that you really deep down don't want to, like cleaning out your closet or going to the dentist? Certainly, it's not a cakewalk, this way of transformation. Certainly, the path of becoming a wounded healer will involve some growing pains and some letting go. You know that change can be hard, but that's not the whole story. This journey ought to be one of energy and daring that brings a sense of liberation that comes with feelings of joy and even exuberance. Think about the journeys that you've taken. When you packed your bag and you laced up your shoes and you headed out, whether literally or metaphorically, what was it like that starting out on a new journey? Maybe a bit of trepidation at the start, maybe a bit of stress. But once you got going, didn't it feel exciting and freeing, like you were finally on the way? Sing out praises for the journey. You hear this in Mary Oliver's poem, The Journey. It starts when you finally know what you have to do and begin. And though it may feel bumpy at the start, she writes, "It was already late enough, and a wild night, and the road full of fallen branches and stones." But as you continue on, things shift. The stars begin to burn through the sheets of clouds, and there was a new voice which you slowly recognized as your own that kept you company as you strode deeper and deeper into the world. Sometimes we never get started on a journey. We never take that first step because we worry about what's over that far horizon. We let our unexamined fears hold us back. We hang on to what is safe and familiar. A ship is safe in the harbor, but that's not what ships are for. Rabbi Edwin Friedman said we could learn from the example of Christopher Columbus and not to be afraid to sail off the edge of the known world. He says our time needs more of that kind of boldness, a stronger sense of adventure and discovery. Of course, it's easy to find reasons and excuses to not do what is tugging at us, to stay safe in the harbor. But the invitation remains, doesn't it? To live more fully into this one life you have been given, while you can. Some of you were here yesterday for the memorial service for Jamie Cope. If you didn't know her, She was somebody who was confined to a wheelchair for decades because of a degenerative disease that she was diagnosed with as a young woman. But that never held her back. She lived her life fiercely. She once told me about how her service dog, Garcia, would pull her along. She would be in her wheelchair. She lived in Andover, going down the sidewalk, going downtown, and Garcia would be out ahead, pulling her wheelchair the way a horse might pull a cart. And I got this image of Jamie, because she didn't do anything at slow or medium speed. I got this image of her like zooming down the sidewalk, hanging on for dear life, people jumping out of the way as she's screaming down to get her coffee downtown. And I love that image of her. If nothing else, the reminder that we are mortal too. Shouldn't this compel us to get on with our lives now, while we're here? You hear this from people sometimes. They say, why did I wait so long to get started on whatever that change was? I feel that way. Sometimes I wish that I had figured out that I was supposed to go off to seminary 10 years before I did and gone in my 30s rather than in my early 40s. But the truth was, I wasn't ready yet. My question for you this morning is, what are you ready for now? Or what are you almost ready for now? What journey is waiting for you? What will move you toward healing and happiness, toward love and liberation? This journey I'm commending to you, your journey, it's not a running away, it's a running toward freedom and connection, toward who you were born to be. But a truth about most journeys worth taking is that we can't know where or when they are going to end. If you need guarantees before you ever get on the path, you're probably never going to start. That's the thing about a journey. There's this long tradition of people taking religious pilgrimages, usually walking a long way to get to a holy site. But what most of those pilgrims learn, I believe, is that it's more about the journey than the destination. It's about what happens to you along the way. People still go on pilgrimages today because I think they hope and expect that they are going to somehow be fundamentally changed by the experience. You're putting one foot in front of the other, not knowing what that day is going to bring. Learning to trust that what you do need will be provided. As I mentioned earlier, this Wednesday we're showing a movie just about this called The Way, starring Martin Sheen and written and directed by his son Emilio Estevez. Emilio Estevez says he wrote this starring role for his dad as a way of honoring his father's faith and his life. And it's this compelling film about the journeys we choose and the journeys that come to us unasked for, and the companions we find along the way. I hope you'll join us if you can. Of course, you don't have to journey far from home to experience this way of transformation. It can be an interior journey, in which you engage with your own fears and longings, in which you imagine new ways of living and then start practicing them. Maybe coming here for you was such a journey. Maybe it's a journey that's just beginning. And now we're here on the way together. Have you ever stopped to think about your spiritual life the different twists and turns that it can take. Have you ever thought about that as a journey? It helps, I think, to have ways to imagine and portray and embody this interior journey, whether that's art or journaling or having conversation with people about your path. If you ever wonder about companions, look around. Look at all the companions you have here for your journey. If somebody's feeling brave this morning, you could at coffee hour say, anybody want to hear about the journey I'm on right now? I imagine people would be happy to companion you in that telling. Mary Oliver's poem ends with this image of leaving behind the voices that are holding you back and finding your own voice and striding deeper and deeper into the world, determined to do the only thing you could do, determined to save the only life you could save. But what she doesn't say, and what I want you to hear today, is that this is no solitary journey. It certainly will be at times walked in solitude, and some of its work does have to be done alone, where you can be in touch with those depths of your own heart and soul. But the way that I am lifting up today is one that will take you not into isolation or loneliness, but rather into deeper connection and communion with others and with the world and with that spirit in which we live and move and have our being. I told you last week about someone who advised me when I was embarking on a journey that was going to involve some stretching and some sadness. She said, I promise that you will find companions along the way. If we say yes to our callings, if we are open to these leadings, we will be led to places that we did not plan to go. And we will be blessed with companions on the way. I hope you know this is true. I hope and trust that you are experiencing this here, or that you will experience these here. What would we do without these companions? There's a lovely book called The Art of Pilgrimage by Phil Cozzano. And in it, he tells a story of a trip he took walking across the north of England. One night in a pub, just before closing time, he said, everybody put down their pints and they linked arms together and they sang their town's local football club song, You'll Never Walk Alone. And he writes about how powerful that moment was for him. He says, feeling at home, at one with these people who had been strangers to him just a day or maybe hours before. How he felt such deep gratitude for and solitude with other travelers, both present and past, on the way. He writes, it's for moments like this that you left home, to no longer feel like a stranger in the world, to test your mettle against the strength of the fates, to find the unmet friends, and hear that no matter how far you wander as a pilgrim, you'll never walk alone. My spiritual companions, let us sing out praises for the journey. Let us be ever grateful for these lives that we have been given and for these companions we have been blessed with. Let us set our eyes to the horizon and strike out on those journeys that are calling our names. Let us be on the way and be glad for the way that lies before us. Amen.